The Puppy Who Lost His Way, and other findings brought to you by Chevron? For Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. First, Black and Hispanic Americans are more than twice as likely as white Americans to be unbanked or underbanked, meaning they don't have a bank account or they mostly use services like payday lenders. People of color and low-income folks are also more likely to not have a credit score. This is all according to a new report out today from the Joint Economic Committee in Congress. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has more.
It can be expensive to have a bank account if you don't have much money.
Usually people are unbanked or underbanked because they don't have enough money to have a quote-unquote free checking account.
Marissa Baradaran is a law professor at the University of California, Irvine.
Most checking accounts have a minimum account balance, which if you go under, you will get charged.
And she says a lot of people can't afford to leave hundreds of dollars or more just sitting in the bank.
The other problem is that there's a lot of communities in America that don't have a bank close to them.
If you don't have a bank account or a credit card, there's a good chance you also don't have a credit score. And Jose Quinones at the nonprofit Mission Asset Fund says without a credit score,
people can't get apartments, they can't start businesses, they can't even buy cars, or they can't even, in some cases, even get jobs.
One way to help more low-income people build credit histories, Quinones says, would be to expand the kinds of transactions that factor into credit scores.
For example, you know, making payments on your rent or paying for your cell phone provider or your other utilities.
Quinones says he'd also like to see banks offer more products, like checking accounts and limited credit lines, that are specifically geared toward low-income people.
You could have a checking account where it does not have overdraft fees, for example.
And where people don't have to pay just to keep an account open. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The British conglomerate Cineworld, operator of Regal Cinemas here in the U.S., says it's considering filing for bankruptcy. Marketplace's Nova Safo says the company has a lot of debt and not enough theatergoers.
Cineworld is the second biggest cinema chain in the world. It's considering filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the U.S. This would give the company an opportunity to restructure its debts and potentially even get out of some vendor contracts in order to keep operating. The company has nearly $9 billion of debt. Compare that to Cineworld's revenue for all of last year, which was less than $2 billion. The pandemic has been tough for cinemas as moviegoers have gravitated to streaming platforms. Recent blockbusters like Top Gun Maverick have helped, but not enough. Last week, Cineworld said it's had a disappointing summer with far fewer big films than usual. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at the numbers. We got a busy week of earnings reports headed our way, and traders are, well, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down close to 1% or more, with the Dow future down 292 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.981%. A puppy returned to its rightful owner, free back-to-school haircuts, and reports that a new solar energy field in the Permian Basin will lower Chevron's, quote, carbon intensity. It's a sampling of the headlines you'll find on a new website called Permian Proud, serving the oil-centric community that stretches from West Texas to New Mexico. Now, you may have noticed that one of those stories, the one about Chevron's carbon emissions, sticks out a little bit. That's because this website is actually sponsored by oil giant Chevron, which feels a bit like a conflict of interest. Molly Taft is a staff writer for Gizmodo's climate change blog, Earther, and she took a look at the Permian Proud. Molly, thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So set the scene for us here. You go to the Permian Proud website. What sort of things are you seeing? It's not just strictly, hey, oil and gas is great. These are the great things we're doing, right?
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's one of the trickiest things about this, right, is to Chevron's credit, they're not hiding that they paid for this. Chevron is in the logo. You know, there's a footer saying it's paid for by the Chevron Corporation. There's a big Chevron ad in the middle. But the front page is actually mostly local news events. And it takes a little bit of scrolling around and really like checking out the site to kind of get a better sense of what it's about.
You reached out to Chevron. What did they say about the site?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were very upfront. They said that the site was created to, I think the direct quote is, aimed at providing regional communities with information that is important to them. They're very much pushing this presentation of themselves as a good community partner and forming this site to, you know, disseminate positive information about the community.
And that's a really important part of this, right? There's sort of a dearth in local news just generally. And so there is space for a company like Chevron to go ahead and do this.
Exactly. And what we found from looking at statistics on local news deserts is the Permian has had a lot of losses in local news, you know, over the past 15, 20 years. And it's this vacuum that Chevron is kind of introducing this news site. And I think that's what makes it so worrisome.
And it's interesting, too, because what Chevron's doing is by no means illegal. It's just not really in the spirit of journalism, it doesn't seem, right? Is that sort of the take?
There was a story, I believe the Miami Herald reported on a utility in Florida basically payrolling this news website to publish positive information about the utility and negative information.
I remember that.
Yeah. So this is not what's going on here. I want to be very clear. Chevron has been very upfront.
Sure.
But honestly, that's even a little bit more nefarious because they they feel confident in their standing as a recognizable company. And to be fair, they provide a lot of jobs in this region. It's an incredibly important industry for folks living down there. There may not be immediately a reason for an average reader to distrust something presented by Chevron.
Molly Taft is a staff writer for Gizmodo's climate change blog, Earther. Molly, thank you so much for your reporting and thanks for taking the time to do this. This is great.
Thank you so much. This was a blast.
You can find a link to Molly's story, Chevron Jumps into Texas's News Desert, with stories about puppies, football, and oil, at our homepage, marketplace.org. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.